Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
It's the corner where the troops at.
Is this the passing of the torch, right? Is this what this signifies?
It comes down to that front office and what they feel is most important.
The champ is here. We've touched down from a higher plane. Why you made it here?
We always look forward to that week because it was always intense.
You know that we ain't coming back. We got to.
The man, the myth, the legend, Dante Hall. My favorite player growing up was Dante Hall. I love you guys in the show, but Dante was my guy.
Get to dashing because you're done on the warfare.
This episode of Chief Concerns is brought to you by BetOnline.ag.
Hey there, Marcus Dash here from Chief Concerns. Just want to comment and say BetOnline is your number one source for all your sports betting needs. Get the latest odds, lines, and matchup reports for football, baseball, boxing, golf, and much more. BetOnline continues to be the fastest and easiest way to place your wagers, including live betting and your favorite casino and card games available to play right from your phone. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and get in on the action. Remember to use promo code BELIEVE, B-L-E-A-V, for your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Bet online where the game starts. Hey guys, welcome to another episode of Chief Concerns. Last week, they said the Bills were depleted. They were injured. 2 weeks ago, they said it was too cold. Miami couldn't play in there. Everyone expected Miami to lose. This week, they said it was Lamar's time. Well, guess what, JD? The Chiefs are going back to the Super Bowl, okay? Back to the Super Bowl, baby.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Back to back. That's what it is. Back to back. Hey, Vegas, look for us. We're coming. We already knew we was going. We was already getting ready. We already had our tickets, you know, already put together. So we know this. This is what we represent. Sure, this right here is my grandson. Hey, look. Go ahead. Show him what you got. What you got on you?
Patrick Mahomes jersey.
Ah, that's right.
That's how we do it, baby.
Oh, yeah.
The real ones got them. The real ones got them. I don't have mine on, but I got mine right here, buddy. Me and you. Me and you. That's how we roll.
Yeah, that's how we've been doing. We've been watching, man. The game was such an exciting game all day. It was just, I mean, you know, play after play. And we knew it. We said, and once we jumped out, quick on them, you know, we were just sitting there just talking about some of the things that we were doing, right? We were just watching, you know, some of the good things Patrick was doing, the decisions he was making, getting the guys open, throwing the football to him. But this man, this is, I told you, we was going up there for one reason only, okay? Going up there to get crab cakes and chin straps. That's what it is, crab cakes and chin straps. So that's what we're going to do. But I'm sitting over here, I got a whole party of people here, all right, that who are celebrating the Chiefs. Hold on. Hey, yo!
Uh-oh.
See if you can span out to this thing.
Yeah. Uh-oh. this is how it's done, by the way. This is the AFC Championship party. People have Super Bowl parties, but JD, he's throwing AFC Championship parties.
Uh-oh. Hey, here's what we're doing. We're going to the Super Bowl. That's where we're going.
Right. That's how we do, baby.
Yeah, everybody's celebrating this. It's my daughter, her birthday was Friday, and so they're doing a theme. Kind of like a fairy type of birthday, doing a paint and sip.
Okay.
Paint and sip. So there's a lot of people over here. So I couldn't get everybody here, man, but everybody wanted to come say hi. That was my kids, but the ones you seen, obviously, that was wifey too. So yeah.
That's how it's done. You know, some people do Super Bowl parties. Some people, because at Chief fans, we throw AFC Championship parties. We're throwing divisional parties. And we're throwing Super Bowl parties because we know all those games are going to lead to a Chief Super Bowl party. So.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. 100%. 100%. So, yeah, man, I just, you know, the thing is, no one going into a hostile environment like this in Baltimore, you knew it was going to be a tough game. You just knew that. But I said, I made this a point. I said, Spags knows what to do. He knows how to play Lamar and those guys. And he said the same thing. He was during the week, he was talking about how much you knew about Harbaugh and the thought process. And so when you went in and you start seeing the pressure, you start seeing guys come from different angles, you know, it was really confusing of, you know, Lamar and those guys. And so they did a good job, superb guy, just making tackles, being in the places where they needed to be. And so when it comes down to it, man, you just make more plays than the other team, and that's what it's all about. But I said, man, this team did not blink whatsoever. And so that's the thing that we knew Patrick Mahomes had. Travis Kelce, come on. Are you serious? Like, how was you going to stop that duo between Patrick and Kelce, right? Nobody thought that, you know, as far as like that experience, oh, yeah, they got experience, whatever. Yeah, you seen what experience does for you, right? You seen that, okay? And that was the results of it.
Kelce just pulled off like an 18-week hustle of looking a half step slower the entire season, and then we look up in the playoffs and he's juking people out of their cleats and going for 115 when it matters.
Yeah. Phenomenal game by him. Phenomenal game. But that's what big players do. They make big plays in big games, you know, because he's a big dog player. And so he just had to go out there, man, just reassert himself who he was. Everybody, like I said, was talking about how slow he was, this and that, how he's done, he's this and that. Well, he just showed you who he was, okay? He just showed everybody whoever had any doubt of it. And the same thing, like, you know, Taylor Swift being shown, like people's getting tired of that. Why? Okay? Everybody celebrate. It's a great time right now. It's a great time to be a Chiefs fan.
And so, what's the best way to get them to stop showing her?
Shut them down. That's all it was.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Couldn't do it. Could not do it.
So, see you in 2 weeks, Taylor.
Right.
Well, yeah, the NFL is going to get with two shows. Really got Usher at the halftime show, then the sporadic Taylor Swift.
They're going to make it rain, dude. Like, the Dell's house have like dollar bills and like confetti raining down from the ceiling when they win.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Somebody said, "Go ahead."
No, I was saying that, you know, the game plan started out the game couldn't have gone any better. So we defer to second half, three and out right out of the gate. We get ball. We drive down there. Probably one of the nicest balls. Obviously, we've seen a lot of Travis Kelce and Mahomes connections. But that touchdown pass, JD, that was beautiful. I mean, you talk to us about how beautiful of a ball and pitch and catch that was.
Oh, man. I mean, gorgeous. But this we've been seeing, you know, Patrick – just the laser focus that he had. Like, he was throwing some balls in there, man, and just, like, pinpoint accuracy. And so when you talk about, you know, the things that Patrick has, you know, the intangibles, it's like staying cool and collective in you know, big games like this, certain positions, you know, and just having the experience. But, yeah, man, you're talking about a beautiful ball. That's what he was throwing. He had a lot of that today. And so he was just, like I said, methodically just going through some of the things that he was doing, how to dissect the defense and just picking them apart. And so, yeah, obviously, we looked at, you know, some of the holding calls took us out of, you know, one of the touchdowns away. Yeah. But at the end, it didn't even matter. So, bad calls, I think, by the way, anyway, on both of those, to be honest with you.
It didn't matter because I didn't get the rice prop because of that catch got called.
Oh,
whatever. It's okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, it looks like all of them hit. Well, my Rice went in over 23 and a half points. That didn't hit.
Yeah,
but
my Rice one. That was it, though. Yeah.
Didn't matter.
It's funny because it almost looked like a blend of a couple years ago Chiefs offense mixed with, like, new school Chiefs defense. So we kind of had the classic from, like, a few years ago where we would come out really hot, and then we would kind of sit on a lead, and then the other team would slowly just come back, and they tie it. And then Mahomes would wake up and, like, kick a field goal or score a touchdown to win the game. This was it was that start, but the new Chiefs defense. So we had the hot start offense, and then the Chiefs defense ain't like it was. No comeback coming.
See you, buddy.
Everybody, help. He's scrambling.
He's going to shut the door for me.
Oh.
Too much noise.
That's a good grandson right there.
Yeah.
But we shut the door on him instead of allowing a comeback, because we didn't do much offensively in the second half.
Oh, sit right here. Hold on. Let me get my little. Let me see Popeye's
Yeah. Oh, wow. Just like that, huh? Oh, I didn't know that.
Wow.
Huh?
I didn't know it came down like that, Jamie.
You got on a pull down?
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
It's all about my boy Bob, man. I told you Bob put it together.
I didn't know pull down like that.
Yeah.
Pull down, man.
I thought it was a frame that just sat behind you. That's big time.
Yeah, yeah.
You're not kidding around with that thing.
Not playing around, man.
No, you're not.
When you have something look that good, you know, you got to make sure it's right.
Oh, yeah.
You got to make sure it's right.
Easily accessible. That's not something you take off the wall. You have to just pull that down and up.
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah, that would come off.
Oh,
man.
Talking about that, so obviously offensively, we look so good first half. I mean, just kind of, you know, the third longest drive in the Patrick Mahomes era. So I thought that was great. 16 plays, 75 yards, 9-minute drive. That was like a mix of, you know, kind of the – honestly, Tejo, that drive specifically looked like an Alex Smith Chiefs drive from back in the day where we would kind of like matriculate the ball down the field. And that's what it looked like, but in the new Patrick Mahomes kind of twist on it. First half looked great. Second half, and obviously our defense, we know our defense dominates second half. So outside that touchdown they had, second half, combined scores 3-0 Baltimore. They scored 3 points. We had 0 points. A lot of three and outs in the second half. I saw your tweet, JD. You talked about you didn't really like the lulls that was going on in the second half. And I was kind of getting scared. Yeah. I was like, at some point they might score a touchdown here. But luckily, our defense just, you know, everything we talked about finally came together. First half, offense was back. Defense played a four-quarter game. But what did you see offensively that – what was different? What did they do differently against us that stopped our offense from moving the ball down the field in the second half? And what didn't you like what you saw in the offense in the second half?
I think we were just kind of taking it laissez-faire a little bit. It just didn't seem like we were, like, attacking like we should have. Like, we didn't – like, the first half, we were on the attack. And you knew, like, he was trying to push the ball down the field. And I think it was part of our problem because we didn't try to push the ball down the field the second half like we should have. It was good that we got that last throw. I think that play, to be honest with you, was probably there all game. Probably, you know, especially the second half. And so we try to play a little bit more, you know, throwing to the back, out the backfield. Packer was kind of getting to him a little bit late. But I think if we would push them deep, come back, some curls and whatnot, we easily could have hit them a little bit better than what we did. It's almost like the same, the Justin Watson, him going in motion and coming and catching that football. I didn't see enough of us running motion with our wide receivers or Kelsey to get open. I didn't see enough crossing routes that we were doing that Rice can really get, you know, kind of get open and do his due diligence on things, right, and do his damage. And so I just – some of the things I just didn't like. I didn't like some of the play calling, like in the series, some of the runs in itself as well. Should have been happening a little bit more play action, maybe under center to open these things up. And so that's what I was kind of upset with it because I'm just saying it looked like we just went in from a whole different game plan second half. We really did. And I couldn't understand it. I couldn't quite understand what the thought process was as far as what you want to tackle with this defense. Because they were still giving you zone and then they give you a little bit of man. What do you do with man? You run a lot of pick routes, crossing routes. Those are the things you do, right? Flood, all those things. You got Kelsey, you got Rice. We got guys that can win one-on-one. And so I just didn't feel like we took advantage of that the second half. What do you think?
Harbaugh said it real good. They did a better job of clamping, filling the run gaps and then clamping like the screens, the quick passes. And they did a better job of that in the second half for sure. And we weren't really throwing a lot of balls even past the line of scrimmage. Most of them were just quick drops. And what was even harder was Creed kept throwing those damn snaps into the dirt. So that took a little time off the ability to get the ball out of Mahomes' hands even quicker, especially on a quick little screen like that.
Right, right.
So we talked about that, JD, that because it's been a kind of a continuous thing all throughout the season. It's been sporadic, the low snaps, but it seems like the last 3 weeks, and I thought I was attributing to the cold weather, maybe Miami or Buffalo game. But this game, we saw the low snaps happen a lot. Obviously, slick weather out there, but it's been happening a lot this season. What do you attribute the low snaps to?
Probably him not following through. Him probably thinking about blocking in the blocking scheme, trying to get up on your man quickly, especially when you have and look, these last 3 weeks, he's had some monsters in front of him. Okay. So you know, we gotta make sure that we, you know, trying to give him a little bit of grace there. But here's the thing though, Patrick was able to get each and every one of them.
Yeah.
So he knows, you know, for a quarterback to know your center that sometimes they might be a little bit low, whatever. you know, Patrick was still, I mean, look, he's a baseball player, right? He's a baseball, we keep saying that. He's a baseball player. My grandson, he's a baseball player. That's why I tell him all the time. But he was getting low. He's catching the ball, pulling it up, and getting the ball off. But like you were saying, Tasia, you know, that throws the timing off of the quick routes. Like when you're talking about doing curls and the hitches and stuff, like you need immediately to get the ball out of your hand. Mm-hmm. So I just think we just, you know, we didn't attack the spacing the second half like we should have. And so because we do run a whole lot of screens, right, wide receiver screens, running back screens, tight end screens, they were playing that. And I guarantee, like somebody says, S. Peterson says, very conservative second half. No doubt about it, conservative. And I think we should have just had a more of an attack approach. Like we could have blown this team out of the water the way our defense was playing. Seriously, we should have went up easily 24-7 on these guys. Easy. And so, you know, it just seemed like we let these guys hang around a little bit too much. And I hate when you let teams like this hang around, especially a talented team as Baltimore has, right? And so you start seeing at the end, they start hitting some of the deep routes, throwing to the wide receivers. But what about that one, man? Like, just bad play on Zay Flowers. Like, dude, act like you've been – see, that's what I'm talking about. That's the experience. Like, act where you've been, you know, like you've been somewhere before. Because you hurt your team by doing that. And then all of a sudden you get down there, guess what? Karma. You come down, trying to put the ball in. That's a great play, just stripping the ball away, right? And so it wasn't us this week. It was us last week, McCole, but now it was Zay this week. But that was a heck of a play. That was a heck of a play. But all those things, man, affects the team, especially in a game like this. You cannot make mistakes. You just can't. Especially with, you know, with the stakes are this high, you got to keep your head about yourself. You just have to. But we've seen that, man. There's a lot of chipping. There's a lot of pushing out there. You know, I call the leg whip on Chris Jones. You know, he completely leg whipped him. That's why Chris was limping.
That's 2 points right there.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. I mean, the guard was tackling Chris all day. He was all around his waist the entire time. It was holding George up in his shoulder pads. Like, I'm talking about a blatant holding going on, right? But, hey, man, whatever. We got the win. That's all that matters.
I will say the refs did a pretty good job of not really, you know, calling a lot of fouls. Most of the fouls they called were personal fouls, like the roughing the passers, the taunting calls. Mostly that. There wasn't a lot of, like, they didn't really call a lot of holes. I mean, yes, on the Trey Smith one, the touchdown for the half, the two in a row there. But that was pretty much it. The refs kind of let them do their thing. So the whole narrative of the refs a cheat for the Chiefs, that really was kind of washed out today. I know some people still try to go with that, but there really wasn't much of that whole stuff going on today. Since we're talking offense, I was curious, JD, we could have taken the points and gone up 10 earlier on in the game. But mm-hmm. we go for it on that 4th-and-1 play there where a lot of people thought we should have challenged it. I think they came back from a commercial break and they said that it was still short. It was a good spot. What did you make of that play call?
I wasn't mad at it. I really wasn't mad at it. I just probably would have preferred having a lead blocker. And I'm just trying to use from memory how it all worked out. But it seemed like we were coming downhill with Pacheco, but it didn't seem like we had anybody leading to kind of open up the hole a little bit. But I wasn't mad at that. That's what I'm talking about, being aggressive. So I'm like, yo, you know what? Good call. Go ahead and go for it. Why not? Like, especially when you're behind enemy lines, you got to bring it to them. You got to bring the fight to the team, the home team. And so I think that's what any of them did the first half. That's why I said the first half looked totally different than it did the second half. Second half, it just seemed like we just kind of sat back like, oh, okay, let's not make a mistake. Let's not do that. And I'm like, no. What I say, you got to do what with your feet? You got a foot on their necks and do what?
All right.
I forgot. Okay. I said, you keep a foot on the neck, you keep your foot on the neck, right? So you put two of them on it.
Choke them out.
Yeah. Choke them out. Choke them out. Okay. So you got to get them. Kill them. Don't you got to get them.
So, Taylor, what did you notice offensively in this game? The play call that we're talking about?
Yeah, I was just going to say, too, it's funny about the second half, as conservative as we were and you know, as effective as their defense was, we still beat them in time of possession in the second half by over 3 minutes. So considering I think 3 of our drives went for under 10 yards, And that last one was by far our best one, and it was a kneel down drive. That was our 50. That was our longest drive of the second half, 50 yards. I think our other ones, I think our other longest drive was 32 yards. The other one went for 7, 4, and 7. So we have 3 under 7 yards or less. We still beat them by 3. Even if you take that last drive out of the game, actually, let's say that net drive never happened, we still beat them by time of possession by over a minute. So kudos to them for even like making the time go. We knew our defense is really good and it could slow them down enough to the point where they're not going to be able to score as many times as they need to score. Sneed, I mean, is that justice for that McCole Hardman fumble from last week or what, man? I mean, my goodness. That was incredible. I said it on Twitter, third downs were going to be like everything in this game, and they were 3 of 11 and we were 8 of 18. Neither team can convert third and longs. I think they combined for 0-7. I think we were 0-5. They were 0-2.
Yeah.
We were 0-4 going into that last like third and whatever that 17-19 play. And we didn't get that one either, obviously. So I think we ended 0-5. 0-5 for the game. But third down was the thing, man. We extended the drives. We took time off the clock. We took out their time of possession by 15 minutes.
Wow. I mean,
we had the ball for a whole other quarter than them.
Yeah.
That is incredible if you think about that, man. It really is. I thought they got it, and we talked about this on our betting show. The best thing to do would be to score early and make Lamar and their offense think that they're gonna have to just match Mahomes pass. And they kind of fell into that trap a little bit. They averaged 5.1 yards a carry. They should have ran the ball a lot more. They were never totally. It's not like they were getting blown out by 21 points and they had to abandon the run. They never had to abandon the run. They could have just kept doing that, but you know. But
I think with that, where their yards were coming was because it was like the you know second and long, and you know obviously Lamar would get a little bit, he'll get a little bit here and there, but I think because what we were doing to them the first half, they were scared to run the football and they knew it wasn't really working against us. You know, because they weren't really gassing it the first half. And when they weren't doing too much, second half is when they started making a little bit more of their change on running the ball.
Crazy stat.
Mm-hmm.
Mahomes had as many rushing attempts as Raven running backs.
Wow.
Really? That. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, Edwards had that one long run and they never went back to him again.
That was wild to me. That made no sense to me.
He had 3 for 20.
Made no sense. I thought they were going to really hammer it down with Gus Edwards. We've had a hard time. We talked about this before on the show. We have a hard time traditionally with bigger backs. We have a hard time with the bigger backs. 3 carries, he had 1 carry for 15 yards, and they went one or two more carries with him the rest of the game. I mean,
crazy.
But I said that. I said, you know, once if something's not working, they will abandon it. And first half, it wasn't really working that well. And so when you start getting a couple of stuffs, it's like, okay, we got to look at the passing game. And it just changed the whole trajectory of the entire game, watching that. And so when Lamar couldn't really get out and get any yards, and then if your running back just hits one or two, it's like, okay, what do we need to do? And it was hard to figure out because Spags was just doing a whole lot. He was just giving Lamar a different look each and every time. Because I was sitting back in just watching, you know, because how he was just playing him. He was baiting him. And so I said this also too, Lamar, he's going to get one up. And he did. He gave that one up in the end zone. I mean, completely threw it under, you know, underthrew him. But that was just a great play. That was a great play. You know, he's throwing it in 3 guys around you. I mean, that's the frustration that you would see. And that started messing with him. The Zay Flower one, first, I think that started that whole thing out. Zay Flower was getting the taunting call, right? Then the fumble. Then they come down driving. Then it's interception. And I'm just like, there it is. It's hard mentally, you know, to put that to the side, especially on a game like this, and try to come back with a very stingy defense. And it's hard. It's hard with, you know, when I know you were talking about third and long. When you have two of the great defenses in the NFL, it's always going to be tough, getting those third and longs anyway.
Yeah. I thought the one thing that really stood out to me, so obviously you talked about the turnover. So the We had the sack, the strip sack, and when watching that, I really thought of watching that Steelers game, the tape that we looked at this week. It looked a lot of what we did was what the Steelers did in that game. The strip sack, who's going to be fine for the Super Bowl. Injury, it looked kind of rough. They didn't really talk about it after he was ruled out for the game. The pick that we had at the end of the game. There was also a pick earlier on in that game that Bolton had that went right through bounced off his chest. Yeah. We were really putting him in like big predicaments. He was having to make tough throws, and that's what you said this week, JD. You want to get Lamar. You got to make him have to throw precise throws, and
that's right.
That's what you said.
Yeah.
So one guy stood out to us. We talked about him. We gave him his flowers last week, and it's a guy who's received probably the most crap from any player on the team this year. He went from his name MVS. He had fans. Some fans called him MVS. Mm-hmm. Today, or actually a couple days ago, I thought of the name MVS. So the guy went from MVS to MVS.
Yes, right.
And MVS, and he turned up today. 32-yard catch at the end of the game. Probably harder catch than any draft that he had this year. And he came up big. AFC Championship game, 2 years in a row, this guy stepped up. JD, what do you got to say for MVS kind of turning around and turning it up in the postseason?
Look. This is part of why you get paid that type of money. Okay, you're expecting a guy like this to show up at some point, and that's one thing I kept reiterating is, look, we can't put this guy at the end of the bench. All right, he's got to be able to do something. And so if it's just little things to get his confidence for him to come out and make plays, that's what he ended up doing. And so he's been big the last couple of weeks. That was a huge catch, and so. He was doing things to kind of drop. Matter of fact, he caught one over on the sideline too. Yeah. So he's, you know, MBS, man, look, if you show up, make a big play in the game when we need you, like you did last year, you're showing again this year. Hey, man, MBS, man, that's what we needed. That's exactly what we needed. We need everybody. We need everybody to put in, to contribute to what they're doing for this win, man. And MBS, man, it's good to see him getting this type of glory, like you said, getting his flowers right now, all right? Because he's had a rough year, but that doesn't matter. Right now, playoffs is a whole different season. That's how it works.
I mean, he's really put himself into this, like playoff legend in Kansas City history, which is – I mean, usually guys who are playoff legends or playoff heroes, they, you know, they have big time seasons at some point during the year, but he's become really – specifically offensively. I mean – I think his numbers in the playoffs, I think he's already surpassed maybe his yards or his catches that he even had in the regular season. And that's saying a lot. And this is 2 years in a row of him stepping up in probably the biggest game of the year for us.
Tyreek Hill tweeted, what do y'all got to say about MVS now?
Yeah, nothing. Hey, congratulations. That's what I say. Congratulations, MVS. You're going to the Super Bowl, baby. And all because of you. Catching that last one, it's all because of you right there.
I said this thing last week or the week before that. Big time postseason performances erase all regular season memories. And that's just how it is. And one big play, let alone what two big games. I mean, that erases 18 weeks. They're all gone now.
That's a little bit too far. That's a little bit too far. No. I just think that because of how rough it was, that he was having at the very first.
I'm not saying I'm going to sign to a long term.
I'm just saying because it's the ball's coming. I'm sure people were holding their breath, like he catches it, like right. It's, you know, one of those things. But look, I agree with you. Like the things he did, now it's like, look, we've seen that you do have the talent. You can do things and make plays, and so. We can celebrate that. We can celebrate those things. Now, the criticism that was coming early, and you know, I get how people were viewing it. Some thought he was kind of lackadaisical in his you know, his approach, maybe not as apologetic as he should have been. So a lot of people won't let that go. I agree with you, Tasia. I get it.
We forgive. We're not going to forget. How about
we're not going to forget. We'll forgive. Yeah, some of those things. Right.
You know what? It's funny what you just said too, like about holding it breath. I felt like towards the end of the season, he was holding his breath when the ball was coming to him. I felt like he was almost locking up when the ball, he's like, oh, shoot, I got to catch this. And I felt like in the playoffs, it was like a reset. He was just kind of playing ball.
Yeah, he was loose out there, man. Yeah, the last year, the playoffs, He was loose.
I mean, I got this. I got my ball. I got this. And he got it. Before we switch topics, I just want to – I was – Omenihu said I'll be ready for Super Bowl, first of all.
Oh, that's good. Great news.
Second of all, OBJ Sr. Just said, get my son a target or I'm releasing the tapes. And then afterwards he said, my son deserves better quarterback play than that. You set him up for failure.
Are you serious? No, you're kidding. You're kidding, man.
No, sir.
Wow. You hear that? Talking about OBJ. Said his dad said he needed to get the football more. What do you think? You don't know?
And apparently OBJ went into the locker room at halftime, incredibly throwing his helmet, incredibly upset about having zero targets in the first half.
Get open. Wow. Get open. Hey, they threw the ball to him second half. He was still getting covered.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, one catch. So we threw the ball to you, didn't do anything with it.
Well, OBJ, you decided the Chiefs were interested in you, the Rams were interested in you, but you decided to go chase the bag, which is fine. But then at the end of the day, don't get mad when it doesn't go right. Because I mean, if you want the targets, if you wanted the glory of the stats, you could have gone to a better situation than that. If that's what it was all about at the end of the day. You can't have it both, you know.
Well, I don't think it was a bad decision. I think he was right to kind of go because he knew he was going to be the guy in Baltimore, at least. He was part of the reason why they're at. But yeah. It's not like he was just blowing teams away all year. So it's not like, OBJ was catching 90 balls. Wouldn't like that. So he could be upset all he want to be. Okay. I tell him, boy, you get open then. How about you get open and catch the football?
Sure. It's got to be a fake account, though. There's no way that's real.
It can't be. It's got to be a fake account. There's no way.
Right. I can't confirm it either way, but I mean, it looked. Yeah,
it said releasing the tapes because then he did it with Baker. His dad, that's why they said release the tapes thing because when he was in Cleveland, they released. See you, buddy.
Say bye.
Later, pal.
Bye.
All
right.
Go celebrate the win, my man. One move.
Go Chiefs.
Here you go.
I mean, it might be him. I don't know, man. We'll see. We'll see how much if it is real. It's gonna pick up a lot of traction in the next couple of days. So,
yeah. Wow. I'm looking at this. Detroit's already scored a touchdown in the opening drive. Yes. San Francisco's driving right now. So, right now it looks like could be Detroit in the end. A lot of people are trying to write it off and say San Fran was gonna be San Fran KC rematch, but Detroit's really giving it to them.
I want Detroit to win.
Okay, two different things here. As far as a cakewalk of a better opponent for the Chiefs or the story of Detroit, who do you think we have a better shot against?
Well, actually, three reasons. Those two, of course, right? Because their story getting to the Super Bowl. Let's make it four. Second, I think it's probably a better matchup for us. Third, I want to get them back from the very first game of the season.
Yep.
Okay. And fourth is because Dan Campbell and the staff that they have up there, man, which is a lot of guys that play the NFL. I like to see them do well. And so that's why I like Detroit. It's good for the city. It's good for the city, you know. And I don't like San Fran. I felt like he's creating this narrative, you know, Brock Purdy becoming the MVP and all these different things. I just didn't – not. Oh, that's why. That's it.
Wow. So San Fran – that's a Detroit score in the first drive, and then San Fran drove it down there and missed a field goal. So Detroit's up 7-0 midway through the first quarter right now.
Wow.
Yeah. All right. That's going to be interesting. That's going to be an interesting one. So just sticking back to the day, because obviously 17-10, this was a very defensive – people were trying to compare the Chiefs to becoming the New England dynasty. You know, for early years, New England was very defensive focused. Then they moved to the second half of the dynasty of the Patriots, became more of an offensive focused thing. It's becoming a little bit different here where we started out offensively. Now we're becoming this defensive team and maybe kind of, you know, a little mix of both. But today was a very gritty defensive game. And this is probably one of the most dynamic quarterbacks, if not the most dynamic quarterbacks we'll ever see in the NFL. And today we held them to 10 points. I think it was our lowest scoring output of the season. Lamar, we sacked him four times today, and I haven't looked back to see how many times you sacked that much. But four sacks, 272 yards. I mean, at one point in the game, he only threw five completions, and one of them was to himself. I mean, like, our defense really played amazing today. JD, a lot of people were scared when Willie Gay was out. What did you think of the way we spied with Leo Chanel? And just overall, how did the linebackers do things? A lot of people were just pinpointed on the linebacking core, not being able to stick with Lamar.
No, I think they did a good job. And so Chanel came, he missed him on the one, but then you had Tranquil come up there and was doing the spy on him too. So very effective, just keeping him bottled up. And so that's what when we talk about integrity. These guys, they knew exactly what they wanted to do. And Spags made sure that these guys was communicating. So when you have a runner like you know, Lamar Jackson, and you know he's very dangerous with his feet, you know, communication is so important as far as, like, making sure that everybody's on the same page with what they're doing. And so you start seeing Tranquil, like, you know, starting to him, you know, to mirror what his movement was. Same thing with Chanel, Bolton, those guys. But I said that's the thing that Spags had to do. He had to trust his coverage. And that's what he did. He did just trust his coverage. And so that was the big part for me, is because guys was getting some pressure. Menahou was getting some pressure. Kalafis was getting some pressure. Chris Jones is getting some pressure. And so when he got that push, Danner was getting some pressure. That was all those things important defensively. And so everybody knew what their job was. They knew what their role was, what it needed, what it took to win this game. And everybody was able to do it. Everybody was able to do it, man. And I know they made Spags proud. I know they made Spags proud, man. So these guys, man, they've been playing together all season. I think that's part of the problem was, I've said this, people had just not been talking about how good our defense is.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't. They weren't giving them any props whatsoever the entire season. It just seemed like they're like, they're okay. They're all right. And before you know it, we got one of the top defenses in the entire league.
Yep.
So that's what kind of enraged me, because we just really didn't bring guys on defense up. We didn't bring our defense into it. So I just, to hold Lamar and them to that many points, come on, man. I mean, what else can you say?
Who would you say is your MVP defensively for today's game?
Oh, today for this game?
Yeah.
You know what? I'm going to say the D-line. That's the D-line, the entire group. Because they the ones that had probably the hardest job on their hands. And that was to generate pressure and push guys back. And I seen Chris Jones. I seen Kalafis get after it. I seen Charles Menahou get after it. I seen Danny get after it. I seen Warrington try to come in and do a few things. And so when they was picking their times when they needed to get back there, just to move Lamar a little bit, just to, you know, get his feet going so he couldn't be comfortable just throwing the football and setting. So that's why I think our group up front, because I said for them, this was the challenge. If you get them, you stop Lamar, then you're going to win. And they did that. And that's exactly what I was looking for. They stopped the run when they needed to. So, and then the linebackers, of course. But, I mean, everybody played a good game. They did.
Tasia, who's your MVP defensively?
I was trying to see if this is a season high for sacks allowed for Baltimore. So far, it's tied for the most that I've seen. I'd say Karlaftis or Reed, man. Reed was all over the field.
Reed.
He had bat downs. He almost had that pick after the bat down. Mm-hmm. He had a few stuffs. He blitzed. I mean, he was all over, man. He came huge.
Yes, he was
tonight. So yeah, that's probably what I would lean toward.
That's a good one right there.
Yeah, that or I mean, it's hard to pick a rusher from our team. I'd say Karlaftis. He had some sick plays tonight, man. That hand move on that to get rid of that tackle on that one, that little swipe. That was sweet, man. He's learning. He's getting better. He's getting better game by game, year by year, man. He's going to be a problem.
Yeah.
It was awesome to watch. It really was. I think it's a combination of people underestimated our defense, and I think people also overestimated how poorly our offense has been. They almost expected old Chiefs defense to come back and play bad, and they expected new Chiefs offense to just keep playing bad. So it seems like when everyone picked the Ravens, they almost picked like the worst version of both sides of the ball for us. They thought the offense would continue not playing well, and they thought the defense would start playing bad. And they haven't all year, so why would they start now? I don't even get it. I mean, yeah, we had some bumps and bruises with Buffalo when they were running the ball, but, you know, that's it. Like, we readjusted to that in the second half. So,
yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think what my projected score was 27-17. I thought it was going to be headed that way in the first quarter. Well, actually, I thought it was going to be a really high-scoring game first quarter when we scored.
Yeah, it looked like
and,
it.
And then they scored that bomb, the Flowers. I thought it was going to be a very high scoring game. Wasn't that at all. Both teams combined for 27 points. So yeah. But yeah, I would say, yeah, a combination of Carl Loftus, huge game for him, today. And then obviously, yeah, I think Justin Reed and Legarius Sneed, those two guys really stepped in. And of course, D.L. Bush came thrusted in there right after Mike Edwards goes down. He comes in and gets a pick. That's like two plays later. I mean, that was wild. I wasn't expecting that at all.
It's crazy that's an upset because the Chiefs won. But, I mean, Baltimore from start. I mean, if you're a Baltimore fan, from start of the season to end of the season, they were such a dominant friggin' team. I mean, they killed other contenders. Like, they killed them. But like we said this in our betting show, like, we've been here before and not enough talk about experience. Like, when the lights come on, and Lamar's got all this pressure we've talked. He had a lot of pressure going to this game. Like, a lot.
Yeah.
And yeah. You know, I think even our mom was like, well, both quarterbacks have pressure. I was like, yeah, they do. But we've already won a championship. So that pressure automatically, that some of that air gets released out of a quarterback when he's already won one. You already got one. You did. Your legacy's there as it is. Until you win one, man, your legacy is, like, incomplete as a quarterback, especially a two-time, unless they count playoff games, a two-time MVP winner. To not win a ring actually makes it a bigger deal, right? Because then you might start becoming one of those regular season players and not a full big game winner in your career. And that's when your legacy starts kind of forming. It's unfortunate for them, but hey, I'm not complaining about that.
Well, the thing is that so you talked about two quarterbacks that fit that bill that we've beat the last 2 weeks, right? Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson. Those are two guys who, for all intents and purposes, have been hyped up so much about how good they are. Then all of a sudden, you know, they run into a buzzsaw with the Chiefs, and we put them to bed.
Yeah,
we put them to bed. And so he had a lot – and when we said it, he had a lot of pressure on him. Like you said, Tayshia, he had a lot of pressure on his shoulders. Shoot. Ryan Clark was coming out there, you know, we need for you to win. Different people, they putting all types of stuff. Yeah, we need for you to win to shut down Taylor Swift and Patrick Mahomes, you know, all of like everything he was just hearing, right? Highest paid quarterback in the game. You got to win at this one. And so I just think the pressure on him was real. And I think he felt that. He may not let on, but he's aware of it. For sure.
Oh, man.
Like I said, if he didn't hear it, I know somebody brought it to him like, hey, man, you know what they're saying? They said you got to win it for everybody. You got to win it so, you know, they don't show Taylor Swift on TV anymore. You got to win it for the city of Baltimore. You got to win it for, you know, so. But I'm going to give y'all a couple of. So this is some of the guys, man, I played in the league with. Just talking about these are some of the comments. Said the D absolutely balled out. Warfield said they're playing good, sound, aggressive ball on D. And one other one saying letting the front four eat and playing a bunch of cover two behind them. They were doing a lot of that. Said Cape kept eight in the pocket for the most part, forced Baltimore to play from behind all game. The D is nasty. That's all it true. And these are what's the name? These are defensive guys to see saying these things. So they recognize, man, how good our defense is. And that's why I couldn't quite understand why everybody else couldn't really see how good our defense was and wasn't really giving us any type of props for it, you know, in Spags. But it was a great win. It was an absolutely great win. And when you jump out on somebody immediately, hitting them in the mouth, Mike Tyson said that the game plan is out the window. What do you do? Everybody got a game plan until you get hit.
Yeah.
Then we just start striking them jokers quick and early.
Yeah. We put them in a position that they've never been in all season, and we did it early. And we did it real early.
That's right. That's right. That was vital. It's paramount to our success.
Yeah, from the get-go, the three and out set the tone from the deferring in the second half, then right away getting a three and out. I think Romo was even questioned on us deferring right away. Like, no, I mean, like, no, we're going to stop them. We're going to get the ball back. We're going to score, and that's it. And that was the rest was history after that. Three and out, and then setting up the tone for a 75-yard drive down the field to score. I mean, it is what it is. It was a nice way to set the tone. But – yeah, so I guess now we're going to leave you guys and let everyone get back to watch the NFC Championship to see where that goes. The Lions are up 14-0. First quarter is 2 minutes left in the first quarter.
Wow.
Gibbs, they can't stop Gibbs. He's dominating them.
Gibbs is a bad boy, man. He's a bad boy.
Cannot stop him.
Can't stop Montgomery either.
Yeah.
Can't stop anything, really.
They can't stop anything. And offensively, they're really not doing much, so – yeah, it's going to be interesting. As of right now, it looks like we're going to play the Lions, but we're going to wait till Monday for JD. JD and I will talk about that a little bit more tomorrow. But that'll do for us. For everyone who is new to Chief Concerns, you guys can find us on YouTube, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, anywhere, Chief Concerns. And JD and I, tomorrow night, we'll be doing a live stream at 7 p.m. to grade the AFC Championship game and give a little bit of a preview to the Lions game or whoever we play. But that'll be more so for the next 2 weeks. We got a 2 week buffer today to get previews for everybody, JD. Well, a lot of time.
Oh, yeah.
But now that does it for us. Guys, love you, fellas. Love everybody in the chat. We'll see you guys tomorrow night.
Oh, yes.
Love you. Crab cakes and chin straps. Crab cakes and chin straps.
No.
Yeah. We ate, we seen, we conquered. Ah! How about those cheese?
Yes, sir.
All right, brother. I'll see y'all later, man. Love you,
everybody.
Hi, everybody. Thanks for watching. Subscribe here to get the latest from the show. Also, be sure to check out the best clips from Chief Concerns. And if you prefer to listen to the show, subscribe and follow us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and anywhere else you get your podcasts.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.